Welcome to the Kerrs High Cat Attack Podcast, semi-final pandemic style. And the Cats, well, they didn't get their pants pulled down, but they unfortunately stumbled again at the qualifying final hurdle. Ben Casanelia with you. I'm joined by K-Rock's chief in charge, Tom King.
Hello, Benny.
Look, it was disappointing, wasn't it? It's fair to say.
Yes, but we've seen this movie before.
We have.
This was part four, wasn't it?
This is Groundhog Day, Bill Murray style. And some say, you know, the Cats were only beaten by 16 points and inaccuracy cost them. And
I think
they got outplayed in the second half.
They did.
Completely outplayed.
The game changed in the last 20 seconds of the second
half. When Ebert kicked that goal.
Correct.
Yeah.
Even if you go in 5 points in front, you're still 5 points in front. The other mob are starting from behind. And they didn't. In that last 20 seconds, Geelong, and I reckon I might have said it in the call, Ben, I said, this 20 seconds is crucial. They wouldn't want to concede a goal. And unfortunately, self-fulfilling prophecy, it happens. And then all of a sudden, Port with a bit of momentum. We reckon Geelong have thrown their best at us. And Geelong controlled that second quarter, missed some opportunities, and then Port grow a leg in front of 26,000 people, and all of a sudden, then with that adrenaline, crowd behind them, they find a way to get, and we spoke about contest to contest, Geelong was smashed.
They were, the thing that sort of comes back to haunt you as a Geelong fan in finals was that when the pressure really went on in the third quarter and Port Adelaide had their foot flat to the floor, Geelong really struggled.
Yep.
They started to fumble. Clearly, the way they were defending got seriously out of sync.
They weren't in the contest, but they weren't out of the contest, if that makes sense.
Well, they just got outnumbered.
But they never got out of the match to the point where you go, Geelong a shot. You always felt that they're still close
they
enough.
I felt that they were, in the second half, that they were struggling. Yep. They weren't going to win.
They weren't going to win, but they were never going to be blown.
They're never going to get blown away. I mean, it's a final, and it's a scrap, and it's low scoring. But 16 points was probably more like a four-goal margin.
But the other finals weren't, though. That's the thing.
The other finals, watching Collingwood West Coast and watching Brisbane Richmond, they were infinitely better games than Geelong and Port.
So was St Kilda and the Dogs.
Oh, St Kilda and the Dogs was a bit of a scrap. Richmond, let's put it this way, Richmond was sitting there watching the Bulldogs and St Kilda and thinking, there's nothing there that's worrying us. We got them covered.
Yeah, we're booking.
Geelong are sitting there.
Tickets to Adelaide now.
Yeah, Geelong are sitting there watching West Coast and Collingwood thinking, God, where's my incontinence pad? Because that was a cracking game of footy.
Yeah.
The thing that, look, we've spoken about
this. Hey, guess what, Ben?
What's that?
They were only 16-minute quarters and nobody cared.
No, that was a fantastic game, that Saturday night game. That was edge of your seat sort of stuff. And Collingwood, geez, they were good.
Yeah.
Their pressure and they withstood. And West Coast didn't play poorly.
No.
West Coast played well and they got beaten by a point.
They missed Elliot Yeo.
They did. He's a big out for them. He's their sort of Dangerfield, Dustin Martin style player.
He plays, they win. But then you could say about Collingwood.
Well, they had Sidebottom and Howe.
Yeah, well, they haven't had Howe for a while.
And Sidebottom's a 30 possession.
Yeah.
Wingman. No Phillips as well.
Yeah, true.
So, and no Tom Langdon.
Mm. I haven't had Langdon all year.
I know, but still he's there, still out.
Yeah. West Coast didn't have Vardy.
Yeah, that Vardy. No, they didn't have the old Wadster. But, I watched that game and thought, I was hoping for West Coast in the end because Geelong's better chance was against West Coast at the Gabba. West Coast don't travel that well.
No.
I was thinking, geez, West Coast need to get over here because if Collingwood win, the momentum they will get out of that win, the way that they played, my sphincter was starting to get a little bit tight.
Or have they fired their best shot and that will take a lot out of them? They've got to come back from Perth, etc.
Well, let's hope so. Because if they've gained momentum and gathered steam the same manner that the Bulldogs did in 2016.
It could be over at quarter time.
Well, Geelong could be in a world of hurt because Collingwood, when they're playing well, their pressure is relentless. Mm. And Geelong have folded under that pressure before.
Qualifying final.
Last year was a classic example. They just couldn't handle that pressure early. And look, we've spoken about it. The Cats are still in it. They got they finished top four for a reason, double chance. Yep. They don't have any injuries. They've got a full list to choose from. Mind you, Jack Stevens can't play, which is a positive. Because he's just not good enough, simple. I have no idea why they got Jack Stevens. At 30 years old, off the year he'd had, would you even bother?
Okay, so here's one for you, and he's a mate of ours.
Oh, no.
Sean Higgins.
Look, I tell you what. If Geelong lose on Saturday night, there is no way known they can go and get Sean Higgins. It just can't happen.
But even if they win, they can't go and get Sean Higgins.
Well, if they were to make the grand final and you think, okay, you know, we're this away, which I don't think that's true.
The only thing I can think of Higgins coming in is if Geelong did get to prelim or later, is that he comes in and he plays the what was Gary Ablett's role for the last couple of years.
And Sean has probably got one good year left in him. He's
got to remember he missed a lot of footy early in his career too with injury and that. Yeah, so in terms of games played, he's probably not as far along the line as a normal 33-year-old would be.
No, and he's a good character.
Great character.
Good, you know, so he brings all that. This is my point. Jack Stephen, questionable character, came off a year that was absolutely putrid, not only on the field, off the field. Yep. Why would you long entertain in getting Jack Stephen? I have no idea. Sean's a different kettle of fish. He's a solid citizen on and off the field. Yep. In a good team, he's probably even better.
Yep.
And he's got elite
ball user.
Yeah, he's got 1 year of and no doubt Sean will make every post a winner if he's playing in a good team. Mm. He's got 1 year of probably really, really good footy.
Yep.
Maybe not from 2 years ago, but really, really good footy.
So do you give him one with an option?
Well, he's got to take the two, don't they? Because that's what North have got him at. So you have to take the 2 years.
North got him for two more. I thought North only had him for one.
No, they had him for two.
They had a 3 year deal.
Yeah, so I think his deal is for two more years, is my understanding. Right, so if you take him.
Okay, and you got North will be paying some of it.
Well, I don't know. Mm. Potentially. Look, let's put it this way, if Geelong are getting Sean Higgins and they're losing Quentin Narkle, which we're hearing is likely.
Constable.
Hurling Charlie Constable, which is likely. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clark, which is some possibility.
Yep.
And Nakia Cockatoo. They're losing those four players and they're getting Sean Higgins at 33. They'll burn GMHBA down, won't they? You can't do that.
But do you know what? Some Geelong fans are just so...
But you can't... I like Narkle as a player. I think Narkle can be an Alan Christensen sort of player.
He needs to play this week.
I agree with you. Geelong have got more problems, Kingy. For a side that's... They've got more problems than Britney Spears.
I tell you who's in trouble this week.
Who's that?
The 32.
The 32, yeah, he is, yeah. I don't disagree with
Brian
that.
Brian Myers last month has been...
Average.
Yep.
Still a second-year player, senior player. He's on the up, so I get that. He is in trouble.
Yep.
100%. Yeah, no doubt. But he's not... If you're pointing the finger at Grime Myers, it's the reason you lost.
No. But there's some... If you're looking at some changes...
Yeah, he's one.
And if you're talking about bringing Narkle in...
Yeah, he's 100%. And Myers' best is hopefully still some time away.
Absolutely.
So this is the learning curve for him. He struggled at the back end of his second year.
Still got 460 goals to go, Ben.
Yeah, he has. And he'll get there, I reckon. He's going to kick 459 of them on Saturday night. It's going to be a breakout.
can't do it if you're not in the
side. It's going to be a breakout game. No, you do it in the scratch match. So do they count?
No, they don't, unfortunately. Not even in a pandemic.
Do you know what? Looking at it, Kingy, and I've spoken to a few people this week.
Yes. Haven't got much else on your hands.
And we've spoken about it. No, we've spoken about it on The Rock. So the biggest issue for Geelong is the selection and the makeup of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what the best look is up forward. We don't know what the best look is down back. And we have ruckman who they've got to pull the full back out of the ruck to play on the wing and then help out in the ruck for a ruck. It's mind-boggling.
What if the skipper doesn't play? Who comes in?
Do you know what? Who comes in?
Is Narkle. Yeah. That might save Myers.
Potentially. The biggest issue for the Cats, they're too big and they're too slow down back. It's they've won games, but they win games on talent. Talent won't win your finals alone.
Is it time to send Tui back?
Tui needs to go back.
Four.
Henderson's out. Got to be out.
Let's see, I'd go Taylor out.
Well, one of them. I'll take.
Okay, here's your
match. I'll take Harry Taylor to play on Cox, okay, simply because Cox isn't a threat at ground level. He's the only threat is in the air.
Yep.
Harry is quite good in the air. Yep. Cox isn't overly quick. Taylor has the nous and the experience to potentially match him physically, not height-wise, but match him physically in the air, and that's where you got to nullify him. Right. You don't have to worry about him running off. So that suits Harry Taylor, that matchup. Henderson likes to zone off and zag off. Taylor is a better matchup for Cox. Blitzarves plays on Cameron because Cameron, he can take your mark, yes. He's not going to find the ball a whole lot on the ground, and Blitzarves can run off him.
Yeah, but is that what they think Henderson's going to do? Oh,
well, Henderson's not a runoff player.
No. But Henderson can play that intercept role that he becomes the third man up.
Potentially, but I'd rather have Blitzarves doing that because they're too slow. You can't have Harry Taylor slow. Lockie Henderson, slow. Collar Jasny is a lock-on defender. Jack Henry is a lock-on defender.
Does Collar Jasny go to Majacek?
Yes, that would be my matchup.
Buse to DeGoey?
No. No, you got Buse would be giving away 5 or 6 centimetres to DeGoey. He's 190, DeGoey, I'd say.
Who goes to DeGoey then?
Well, I'd have Collar Jasny on DeGoey.
Stewart to Majacek?
Well, I'd have Henry to Majacek.
Right.
So Majacek's about 191. Collar Jasny's 193.
How tall do you think Buse is?
He's 186. But he's not an aerial. You need somebody who's good in the air against DeGoey, as well as on the ground, because he does it all. But you've got to have somebody who can match him height-wise and match him strength-wise in the air. And that's Buse is much better to somebody like a Stevenson, or potentially a Josh Thomas, or a Dacos if he plays for... How good's Josh Dacos to watch? Jeez. He is elite.
Yes.
His skills are just sublime.
His ball use.
Oh, I was quite aroused watching him play on Saturday night. He is going to be an absolute star. He just his ability to swing onto his left.
How tall do you think DeGoey is?
I'd be nearly 190.
He's 188.
Yeah, he plays taller than that though. He marks it.
Hughes can go to him.
Oh, well, that'd be a strange matchup for mine. But if you're suggesting that, but now my point is Taylor slow, Henderson slow, Collar Jasny's lock on, Jack Henry's lock on, Mark O'Connor is lock on, Jed Buse cut his toes in a chopper reed sort of motion, did himself a mischief. He's cut his teeth as a lock on defender. So 5 of your 6 defenders are all dour. Tom Stewart, you sit on Tom Stewart, who runs it out? At the other end, the options they've got, Collingwood, running it out, I'll tell you, Darcy Moore,
yep.
Jack Crisp,
yep.
Brandon Maynard,
mm-hmm.
Noble,
Quainer. Where can I get on the pie?
Quainer. They've got 5 blokes who run it out the back. Yep. Geelong have got no one. Mm-hmm. And they play 9 defenders. You've got Tui and Blitzarves are not playing in defence. They're up the ground.
Mm.
It beggars belief that they think that this is going to win a premiership.
Unfortunately, we're not coaching the Geelong Football Club, Ben.
We should be. And you know what?
There's no way I'd share a coach's box with you.
I spoke to somebody today.
Did the match review officer catch up with you after your little indiscretion in the K-Rock Hub?
No. Well, they did, and I was happy to pay the fine because I knew that I was lucky to get away with just
a... If you challenge that... There was a suspension coming.
Was there any footage? Was there any audio?
Yes, there's audio. There is audio.
There is audio of Fluffy being released off the chain in the K-Rock Hub. What were we just talking about?
You were talking to somebody today.
Talking to somebody today who was suggesting that we were talking about the Cats, and they said that initially, they said Geelong are too far down the track with what they've done this year to go back, to put Blitzarves back and to maybe remove Taylor or Henderson or make the big call and say, you know, if Gary Ablett's surname wasn't Ablett, would he be in danger this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's,
did I say, did if, I
if
not
Geelong,
say...
If Geelong won and Ablett played poorly or didn't have an influence, do you have to revisit it?
If Geelong had won.
If Geelong win.
No.
If Geelong win this week, but he's got no influence on the contest.
Yeah, if Geelong won and he has no influence, he'll stay in the team. He could not touch the ball at all, he'll still stay in the team. This is part of the problem. The guys are getting game. I mean, Selwood, Ablett and Stephen came back in the team against Sydney. Well, it just completely upset the balance. Mm. They had all these young blokes playing roles. They threw them the keys. Menegola, Guthrie, you're in the midfield. It was close. Atkins, you know, Delhouse, Myers up forward, no Ablett. It just the whole dynamic changed when those blokes came back. I said, did I not say that there is some potential that these guys coming back upset the balance of the
team?
You
did say that, yes.
Yeah. So, and that's exactly what's happened.
Thanks, Nostradamus.
But people think, Ablett and Selwood come back in. They're just names. The footy AFL's much bigger than just having a name player who's a good player.
But the skipper's played well.
Skipper played well in the first half,
And then he jagged the finger.
Yeah, that didn't help. That didn't help.
He's no guarantee to play Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've coped without him.
Hmm.
So,
Yeah, the world doesn't stop because Joel Selwood's not in the Geelong team.
No, and do you think that suddenly they are less a chance of winning if he's not in the team?
I'd like him in a final.
I would too. 100%.
Because he could do something that makes the bloke that might not have done anything for 3.5 quarters go, oh, gee, hang on. You know, and inspire him.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it's not Joel Selwood of 3 or 4 years ago when you're thinking he's out. Oh,
we're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think
but
that.
But we never thought that because Joel Selwood barely missed.
No, that's right. So what I was going to say was that talking to this person, they started saying that the Cats are too far down the track to change up what they're doing in terms of the defensive mix.
Oh, they won't change.
Well, and they won't. Why won't they change? Why would you reckon they won't change?
Because they're too far down the track with it. They can't go...
And is the coach too stubborn to actually... Do you think there is the potential that if he puts his hand up and changes it around, it has to say, well, I got it wrong?
Potentially, yeah.
So to the two teams they've played in the last 4 weeks that are any good have both just arm-barred the way Geelong have played.
Port Adelaide and Richmond.
Both just said, you're not winning with that. You'll cause us. You'll be competitive for a bit, but we're not... That ain't going to beat us.
They'll have to beat one of them in a grand final.
Yeah, but... So,
because they're not playing, St Kilda aren't getting beyond.
So the other way to do it would be for him then to change things up and use it, spin it as, you know, we looked at things as a positive and say we looked at things, we realised that we needed to make some changes. I know it was late in the year, and try something, because I don't see that 9 defenders and the world's tallest, slowest, and most dour defence in the history of footy beating. Or winning the premiership.
No.
I just don't see it.
I know. Right now, they're not getting out of Saturday night.
No.
No. And
I'm not saying they can't win.
They're
going to need some special efforts from some of their higher-profile players.
It pains me to say it. They are going to really struggle Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you. I think that they can win, but they've got to change it up. They can't have that same defence. That defence won't win. Mm-hmm. Get rid of Henderson. Taylor plays on, I'm telling you, Taylor plays on
Cox.
Good matchup for him in the air. Blitzards goes to Cameron. He can then get involved the other way. Take care of Cameron. He's got the reach. Cameron is an emerging player, but he's good in the air, a bit like Cox, not at ground level. Yep. And then Taylor, Blitzards can run off him. You send either Henry or Colajasny to Dugowie when he's forward.
Yep.
Buse goes to someone like a Josh Thomas. Whoever doesn't go to Goey goes to Mychek.
Who goes to Elliott.
And, well, Buse is probably the option there for Elliott, or you could send O'Connor to Elliott.
Yep. I would send Buse to Elliott and maybe O'Connor to Thomas.
Yep, that's fine. So there's your mix.
Yep.
Tui comes back and plays as a wingman, but the seventh sort of defender.
Yep.
So you've got somebody who's springboarding the ball, who's a good kick, out of the back half. Yep. Hopefully Stewart has a good game because he can do that.
I hope Zach Tui's a bit more up and about than when he was on K-Rock.
Oh, he was like he needed to have a lozenger just to get himself back in town. I've never heard him so down the dumps.
Yeah, well, it's like he found out that they'd stopped making Guinness.
Well, it's like he'd somewhere.
Actually, what would be a bigger loss in his life, losing a grand final or that they've stopped making Guinness?
Oh, geez, you'd have to put that question to him. Does he get onto that stuff?
He loves a Guinness.
Oh, he doesn't. Yeah. Not all Irishmen do.
Not in a. I'm going to have 1,000.
Not on a Tuesday night sort of style.
No, but he'll go home after a. And I think he said it on K-Rock before that he will go and blow the top off one after a Geelong game at GMHBA Stadium
and have a Guinness. Good God bless him. When did he say that? Oh. Was that the late night version of K-Rock footy? Was that at up past 11? He must have said that.
Yeah, it would have been a Saturday night game.
Yeah, oh, perfect. Look, I know we're sounding a bit negative about the Cats, aren't we? Did you read the article in Today's Age?
Yeah, Jake
written
Niles.
By Jake Noel?
Yeah, I went into it thinking this was going to be a whack of Chris Scott. And came out going, I don't know whether he's defending him or whacking him.
Oh, he was having 50 cents each way, but yeah. I think he only scratched the surface as to why Geelong fail in finals. Mm. It was basically like he was saying that they have a group that Chris Scott does really, really well with in the home and away, but that's as good as the group is, and that's why they don't win finals. I don't subscribe to that.
This is the group that Chris Scott wanted.
Yes.
He's the one that had the say at list management that, you know, I'm sure that, I would suspect he's got the final say at list management.
Do you think? I know. Well, I think I know the answer to this question. But do you find it staggering that the best defender in the team doesn't play in defence?
Yes.
Yeah. I just do not.
But as we've said before.
Yeah, you've said because he can play up the ground.
Mark Blitzarv's biggest weakness is Mark Blitzarv's biggest strength.
Well, Darcy Moore could play up the ground.
Yeah, well, they tried him up. He started as a forward and he actually was no good at it.
Yeah, but they never played him in the wing or on the ruck.
No.
But he could play there.
Oh, absolutely.
But they don't.
No.
Why?
Because he's the best defender in the team.
100%. 100%.
Mm. Oh, look, and please, we'll have listeners going, you know, we had a listener the other night that told us that we were too Chris Scott friendly.
Yeah, he obviously hasn't listened.
He hasn't listened to K-Rock.
No.
Look, don't take this as a bash of the coach, but I don't know. Maybe we've got it completely wrong, Benny.
Look, May might come out and blow the Pies away.
Well, let's hope.
That would be gold.
Because if they did that, I actually think whoever wins this...
is a chance of beating Brisbane.
Yes.
I reckon
whoever wins this semi plays in a grand final.
I do. I wouldn't pencil them in, but I think they are a really good chance. And one of the reasons I think they're a good chance is because Brisbane are still a relatively young team. Yep. They've got 2 weeks now to think about being in a grand final.
Yep.
So you get to the prelim, you've run your race before you get there.
Correct.
The Cats have the Pies will have some momentum from winning on Saturday night, whichever team wins. We'll go in there with potentially Brisbane thinking, playing a bit safe and a bit because they're thinking, geez, we are four quarters away from a grand final.
And it's not, look, as much as it will be a Brisbane-centric crowd, you're not really the interstate team because you've been at the Gabba for so long.
You're used to it.
You're travelling only an hour down. For Geelong, it's like MCG to Kenya Park from Brisbane to South.
No, I agree. I think that whoever wins Saturday night is a really good chance of knocking off the Lions. I just, I just hope that the Cats are on. And I just their mix. Radigalia has to come back in for mine.
Give them two marking options.
Yeah.
Stretch the Collingwood defence.
Yeah.
Because Collingwood's defence isn't overly tall.
Jared Ruffhead will go to Hawkins. Yeah. And he's in. He's,
and that's the thing. If you only play Hawkins,
who's going to be across in front of Darcy Moore? Is going to spend his entire 100 minutes of footy standing in front of Tom Hawkins.
And we will, if Asava Radigalia isn't named on Thursday or Friday night, we will talk for the next 24 hours because the team will come out when we're on air doing Richmond St Kilda, Benny.
Yep.
And we can talk about it then, and we'll say Darcy Moore is going to have an absolute field.
And we saw it never better was it highlighted. That on the Friday night game between Richmond and Brisbane, where without Tom Lynch, Brisbane just got in the grill of Jack Riewoldt.
Who would have thought Ryan Lester was going to be
the
man?
Well, it was good coaching because Lester went to Riewoldt, and they clearly envisaged that there wasn't going to be too many one-on-one contests between Lester and Riewoldt because the times that there were, he actually beat him. But every time the ball came in, guess who was there across the face fisting the ball away?
H. Andrews.
Yeah, because that was the only real option they had to go forward.
Yep.
So if Geelong didn't, and that's what Geelong do each week with Hawkins, the good defences will pull that to shreds.
Yep.
And Port Adelaide did it on Thursday night by putting Trent McKenna. If you had got odds, you had rang one of your odds, your betting agencies, and said, can I have the odds of Trent McKenzie playing on Tom Hawkins? The trader on the other end would have suggested that she'd had a frontal lobotomy. But they are able to get then Tom Jonas to just get in the way. All the time of Tom Hawkins.
Yep. And if it wasn't him, it was Cleary. And if it wasn't Cleary,
Radigalia and Gary Rowan, he may as well have been fair dinkum. His finals record is horrific. It's genuinely horrific. He had four kicks, one tackle for the night. He had two kicks in the first 2 minutes, and then he was indisposed. If he was a jockey, he would have been indisposed. They would have just come in and said that G. Rowan... Desi Gleeson would have come over the loudspeaker and G. Rowan has been indisposed and he can no longer ride. He isn't a marking forward. So let's just get one thing clear. He does not mark the ball. When it comes in the air, he's not a contested mark.
No.
So don't think that you're going to play him as your second marking option because it just ain't going to happen.
You want some questions, Benny? They have come, as you would expect.
Thick and fast.
Thick and fast, yes. All right, let's have a look here.
Fast and thick? Now, how come no one ever says that?
All right, this is from Bordolino. I would really love to know more about this story, especially since Kingy again alluded to it during the post-match night. I know you said that the reason Chris Scott doesn't come on K-Rock is due to Benny's criticism. Can you elaborate a bit more on that? Has Scott explicitly told you guys that is the reason, or have you been told by others? Also, was there a specific catalyst that led to his refusal to do K-Rock interviews? So just to put this to bed, so... there has been issues raised with what Benny said over the journey. Chris doesn't do radio.
Never with anything I actually said.
No.
We got to please explain for two tweets that were sent out off the Cat Attack podcast
Twitter. Yep.
And none of them were slanderous.
No.
They were critical.
Yep.
But they weren't. They were just basically what the general fan base were thinking at the time. This is going back about 3 years. Yep. But we got to please explain from the footy club.
Yep. And it's been that long since Chris Scott's been on. Now, the club tell us we have requested Chris Scott to either come on the day after a game. Getting him post-match during this year has been difficult. We'll concede that. Getting him post the following day is something we would like to have done. We've been told by the club that he's done no radio in that sphere this year, which we have to take their word. Let's say that that's correct. So
is that correct, though?
Look, I don't know. I haven't gone back and...
I've heard him on Triple M.
The day after a game?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, it was an odd day of the game.
I know he's done it like on a Saturday, but the Cats played Thursday night or something like that.
Right.
So
post-game.
So, it's a discussion that we will have with the football club post-season to get to the bottom of it, because we are as frustrated as our listeners are that we, one, we're a sponsor of the club and we do tip significant coin into the Geelong Football Club.
Yep.
And
it's staggering.
And since 1932, wherever the Cats have gone other than this year, we have gone. So if it's Darwin for a pre-season game, if it's off the back of the Ute and Yay for the bushfire game in 2010, if it's to Alice Springs, we've been there and we've supported the club financially, exposure in this town, and unfortunately, the coach won't speak to K-Rock.
It's mind-boggling, Kingy, really, when you think about it. I mean, the club has... They're the only team in the competition that basically has its own radio station.
Yep.
And...
Yeah, Solus. The Adelaide teams have AA and...
True.
And 6PR in Perth.
But if you think about it, all the NFL teams basically have their own radio stations.
Oh, and... Yeah, and travelling...
And the coach, I know, just following the Bengals, Zach Taylor, is on that station all the time.
Yep.
That's part of the deal. So, it's frustrating from our end, and it's disappointing for the fans that they don't, the Geelong fans that do tune into K-Rock,
yep,
don't get to hear from the coach, because, you know, there's always a lot to talk about, and it's not all positive, no, but a lot of it is. Mm. We do ask, and we get fresh air, so.
I think we might leave it at that. Our listeners know where we stand on it. And we'll do our best that in 2020.
But they've never actually said why he won't. It's just that he can't come on. They always have a reason as to why he can't.
Yep, correct.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
2016, wasn't it?
16 or 17.
I think it was 16.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and...
Because it'd be heaps to talk about.
Yeah.
Maybe we could go through each year chronologically and just talk about it and then get up to 2020. So you'd need to maybe clear for a post-game interview a day.
All righty. Anth Christian with a few. Geelong's good form this year was credited on various media outlets, i.e. on the couch, to Geelong's extremely high score on their pressure index. It was revealed their score was so high that teams historically don't lose when achieving such a high score. This has clearly dropped since the Richmond match. Well, how and why has this happened? Because the other teams haven't allowed Geelong to pressure them.
Yeah, and
simple as that.
I think there's probably a little bit of that.
And the Cats... And it, look... Has there been a drop-off for Geelong? Let's have a look at what they've done. They've gone in early July to Sydney. Then they've been told, all right, now you've got to go to Perth and you're going to spend 3 weeks there, including a fortnight in a hub, or a fortnight there and most of it in a hub. Then you come back to Brisbane. Then you've got a game in Adelaide. Then you've got to come back to the Gold Coast again. And then you're over to Adelaide for a final. When does this all catch up with you?
Oh, maybe. I think that's probably making excuses, though.
But you have to put it out there as a potential.
Potential. I mean, it didn't seem to affect the Melbourne Storm on Saturday night.
No, but they've only been in a single area, Benny, basically.
And it didn't seem to affect the Pies on Saturday night.
No, the Pies are probably the ones that have done it tougher than Geelong. Yeah.
And they rose to the challenge.
Yeah. The Storm's a different one because they've been based on the Sunshine Coast and they've only been flicking between Sydney and Brisbane. That's not as...
Collingwood. What about the St Kilda and the Bulldogs?
They've done it. Neither of those two went to Perth.
No, I don't think. I think that you're sort of trying to find excuses. I admit that it may have.
I'm not trying to find an excuse. I'm just trying to put all the data on the table.
Yeah, and let's hope that I'd hate for them to, if they lost on Saturday night, to use that as an excuse. I don't think they will, because Chris Scott all along has manned up to the challenge of this quarantine and said that it's not an issue, it's not going to be an excuse, and they've really thrown out no excuses. They don't, other than that, they don't really have any, do they? They got no injuries.
No.
So.
No. Anth Christian also, thoughts on the following selection changes, close for Gaz.
Yeah.
Gaz is not playing. It won't happen.
The fact that I agree it won't, but the fact that you actually, who put that through?
Anth Christian.
So Anth, the fact that Anth has actually put that out there and you haven't instantly dismissed it, although all we've said is it probably won't happen because it is Gary Ablett.
Yep.
Suggest probably where Gary Ablett's at, given close is in his first year of footy. But you know what? If it happened, it won't, but if it did, I wouldn't be disappointed.
Knuckle for Taylor, with Tui taking the vacated defensive position.
Oh, that's 100%. I think Henderson's the one that should come out. And Henderson, in isolation, played okay. It's not a form thing. He played okay.
Balance.
So did Taylor. It's how that mid. It's just there's no spark. There's no run. There's no creativity from that defensive unit the way it is at the minute. Mm. And the good teams, when they're able to move the ball with a bit of swiftness, and at certain times in the game they are going to be able to do that, they put that defense under serious pressure, because the ball. How often have we seen against Richmond and against Port Adelaide the ball just get locked in their half for like 10, 12 minutes. Cats can't get it out.
Yep. NQ flogged. Is Ablett cooked? Has the game moved past him? The game has moved past him. There'll be times we'll see flashes, but he is, remember, 36 and a half.
He just doesn't, he doesn't provide any pressure.
No.
And when the games are sort of a bit free-flowing, and if you can get the ball to him, yep, he's going to do some damage. Let's hope that happens Saturday night. They've got to find the ball into his hands 10 to 12 times in space, and then he'll be a factor. If he's forced to get tough possessions, because they do have those players that I mentioned that can run it out.
Mm.
He's got to provide some pressure coming the other way.
Perceived pressure is one thing, but to me the team look like they coached within an inch of their lives. Instead of taking the first option and playing on instinct, they think too much and are caught in two minds in finals, because all of a sudden the pressure notch goes up and they start, one player makes a mistake and then they all start second guessing themselves.
And I agree, and you know, if you look at it, what have you learned from Richmond and Port? That there's the makeup of the team isn't going to beat those teams, so you've got to change that up. Geelong have the players there capable of beating those teams, but they need to be playing in their rightful positions. And I think Radagalia needs to come in. Blitzovs needs to get out of the ruck, because Stanley, throw him the keys. You are a ruckman tonight. Other than Radagalia having 2 or 3 minute bursts and Hawkins doing a bit of ruck work up forward, you are our ruckman. Just take it to Grundy. We don't expect you to be Polly Farmer. Break even if you can. That would be a win for us.
Yep.
But when has Stanley played his best footy? When he gets thrown the keys.
Yep.
And he's against a big name where he steals himself for the challenge.
Well, and especially too, because last year they basically said, you're not good enough to play against this bloke.
Yeah, against Grundy.
Yep.
And he did all right.
Yep.
Well, no, they took him out. Yep. But during that year,
yep,
he'd actually played okay against Grundy.
Round one.
So for whatever reason, ruckmen do not like having to share 50-50 with somebody else.
No.
Because they don't get into any flow of the game. And he's not, don't put him up 40. I know he took a mark, kicked a goal early, but he's not going to do that. Get Radagalia down there, who can play there permanently and provide you with some sort of aerial contest other than T. Hawkins.
Catters 28. The people in charge at the club have been quite open about being happy to make top four year after year without doing any damage in finals, as it keeps the money rolling in. Colin Carter, and I've requested Colin Carter for K-Rock on Saturday night. We haven't spoken to the president this year. Be interesting to see whether they put him forward. Carter claims it's just a vocal minority of fans that are unhappy with the club's finals record, yet many people have been doing it tough this year. JobKeeper and Seeker is about to be cut, and people aren't going to have the funds to put back into the club, especially if we still can't attend games next year. If the Cats fail in finals again, do you think that the club might notice it where it hurts next year, their back pocket, and finally change things, or not?
Jeez, it's hard to say. I mean, footy's such an outlet for people.
Yeah.
Especially
with what we've gone through, the people next year will just, if they can get to the footy, they will scream.
Yeah.
They will cut back on other things in life
to
make,
go to the
to make sure they've got.
I agree with that. I think that if Geelong were to lose on Saturday night, I think there would be some serious backlash heading in the direction of the coach. I mean, for whatever reason, there seems to be a really disjointed...
How long are we allowed to stay on air to take phone calls on Saturday?
Well, we'll have to be, it could be a 4 a.m. sort of session. We might have to just bust out a little bit of Dr. Feelgood. I might be able to give some tips, Kingy, some a.m. tips about how to...
No. No. Move on.
Because it seems like such a disjointed relationship between the Geelong fans and Chris Scott.
And that's what Jake...
I don't think they warm to his personality at all. He's not that coach. Whereas, like, I quite like listening to Nathan Buckley.
Mm.
See, we talk about Chris Scott's always mentioned by some, and there's some in other radio stations who are enamoured with the coach, as being really articulate. And he is. He's very articulate. Mm. And he's a bit of a... But there is at times a bit of a condescending tone to his articulation of what he's talking about. Now,
I'll make a point on one of it, was when...
Someone asked you about the lazy...
No, I'll go back at media conference. It was about Joel Selwood.
Oh, and he said that, I'll send you his program.
Program, yeah.
Just no need for that.
No. And Chris Scott hadn't been... Chris Scott's media conference this year had been a little bit more... I would say relaxed, and especially I've been in basically all of them, because the forum changed because of Zoom. They weren't your 10 journos huddled around at Kenya Park in the middle of the week. They were people on computer screens from different places, and it seemed to have that more...
Scratching their ears.
Yeah, correct. Yes, relaxed feel. And all of a sudden, things as we got deeper into the season have just changed. And look, the stakes have gone up, don't get me wrong. Pressure probably, gets a little bit tighter.
Yep.
But, yeah, that. And then the other one about, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't know what that was an answer to, but it had that smack of, I don't know.
I sort of thought about it off, because, you hear that word that he's very articulate, as if that sort of is a good thing. I suppose it is. It's a good thing, particularly he's obviously well-educated. I was thinking, though, that if you name me sort of the top, 7 or 8 coaches of premiership sides, or one's not a premiership, of the last decade, 15 years, would you classify Alistair Clarkson as articulate? No. Would you classify Adam Simpson as articulate? Not too bad, but not... He's a pretty grassroots...
Alistair Clarkson's... Yeah, he's a country boy.
Yeah, he's not articulate. Damien Hardwick, he's not articulate.
Layman's terms.
No. Who else have we got in there that's won the premiership? Kenny Hinckley,
he's
not articulate. Brett Ratton, no, I haven't won a premiership, but just in terms of Brett Ratton, not articulate. Chris Fagan, he's not articulate. It's not about that.
No.
You're dealing with the wrong demographic. You need to be maybe at Harvard teaching some sort of applied science if you want to be articulate. That's where you need to be. Footy environment, you don't... If you're dealing with the media, that's fine, but that's not your job. It's part of the job, but it's not your number one goal. The number one goal is to manage, coerce,
inspire.
Yeah, inspire, motivate, and direct and develop a group of young blokes, a lot of whom are not articulate.
Mm.
That's not their go. They're footy players generally, I'm not saying they're dumbasses, they're not. But it's not that environment. It's a very different environment. And the development and the progression and all those things, the way you speak is not, they're not linked.
Mm.
So I just always frustrates me that he's articulate. Well, yeah, but that's irrelevant whether he's articulate or not, because the best coaches of the recent times aren't.
Mm. Cat Mancini, we are fortunate to be in a position to play finals each year. We win lots of games, but the recruiting over the last few years has been done to win these finals, and we have failed. The coach deflects all he likes, but he's been given every opportunity to succeed. Midfield, biggest problem, maybe time for a change of coaches around him.
Oh, well, I mean, look, there's always going to be that. They're not going to change the coach, I wouldn't have thought. What's he signed to win?
End of 22.
Yeah, look, they might come out and win Friday, Saturday night. And they might go on and win the premiership, which would be... And he'll then have the last laugh, and the Cat fans will be laughing along with him. Be fantastic. But I think what we're seeing is that there's a theme each year, and Geelong are losing the same way each year, and nothing changes. So, but they're still in it. Saturday night, they're still in it. They're going to need some big games from some good players, as Collingwood are. It's not Collingwood. It's not going to be a walk in the park for them. It'll just be really interesting to see how they handle the heat of the Pies. Have they improved from last week? Have they learnt new lessons? Do they do anything differently? Have they structured up differently? Do they get some mix in that defence? Do they bring in Radigalia? Who plays in the ruck? All those things, because I think they've got to change it up to win. They can't just go in with what they did against Port Adelaide, even though some people said it was competitive and they won a lot of the KPIs and all that. I don't think that mix is going to beat Collingwood, so they're going to have to change it up. But they do have the players there, if in put into the right position, can win it for the team.
Fox Dog 50, Ben and Tom, if you're both on the match committee, what would your ins and outs be for the game? I know, Ben, one thing we'll strongly agree is where you play blitz.
Yeah, well, he's got to play in defence, but he won't. I've mentioned it. Blitzar's in defence.
Henderson out.
I'd take... I wouldn't... Well, I'd have... It's interesting.
Who's coming in? Blitzar's is going back. Henderson's going out.
So I'd bring in Radigalia.
Yep. There you go.
As the only change.
Right. There you go.
I would make...
Okay.
And I'd like to bring in somebody like a Jordan Clark or a Narkle. If Selwood doesn't play Narkle in as a creative sort of player. But if Selwood plays, I think the only change is Radigalia in.
No Narkle for Myers.
And Myers out. Mm. I wouldn't be disappointed if they took Ablett out.
But they won't.
Yep. But Myers out, Radigalia in as your second. And then he has little bursts in the ruck. Stanley plays ruck. Hawkins plays forward as the key forward alongside Radigalia. And then the other end, you've got Taylor and Blitzarves. And you've got Tui. Tui playing back. Tui has to play, has to be, he can start on the wing.
In his natural environment.
In his natural habitat, across halfback, provide some rebound. Mm. And Stewart and Tui need to have big games if Geelong are to win. If Stewart's quiet, Geelong don't have enough firepower getting the ball out of the back half, and Collingwood have got it in spades.
Fox Dog 50 asked about Higgins, which we've touched on. Surely we shouldn't go after him. He's saying, "Oh,
I think I do." You know what? What I'm hearing that is
it's done.
It's signed, sealed, and
he's
delivered.
Coming,
yeah.
But it was last year, wasn't it?
Well, no, I don't think it was ever last. It was trumped up in the media as done, but it was never done from.
Geelong's
Sean's end. Management then, I don't think.
Have you heard what the league is doing in list sizes and salary for 2021? No, that hasn't been finalised yet.
Watch this space.
Daz Broncos, that was frustrating, but credit to Port for playing it. Playing us. I think it's more comments from Daz Broncos. You can read those on our Big Footy page. Bortolino, to what extent does a coach impact on the mental strength of his players?
Well, enormously. Mm. I think that...
Is it possible... So that's his first question. He's got a bit of a spiel, and then at the bottom, is it possible for a coach to develop players poorly from a mental preparedness perspective?
100%. And that's confidence. I think one of the big things with coaches is that they instill confidence in players. Not Joel Selwood or Paddy Dangerfield or Tom Hawkins. They'll look after themselves. You don't need to worry about them. It's the guy who's sort of 12th to 22nd in the team, who maybe is a little bit fragile. That's where the coach plays a really important role in giving them the confidence that he's got confidence in them to go out and perform and elevate. One of the art of good coaches, good coaching, and what's been a crucial with all the good coaches is that they have a capacity to elevate players and teams in finals. They elevate, players elevate, that you get more out of them than what you thought.
Yep.
And that's not Dangerfield and Selwood.
Doesn't happen. Name a player that's elevated himself in the last
Name me in the last 5 or 6 years, other than Tom Stewart and Cam Guthrie this year, name me one other player that has got anywhere near that Geelong have developed to anywhere near All Australian.
Well, Menegola.
Well, Menegola's one, but he's been at he was at two other clubs. Mm. Geelong have taken and developed.
Yeah. Stewart.
Well, and Guthrie, but he's been there quite some time.
He's been there a decade.
Yeah. There's not many.
No. Mr. Cat 10. G'day, boys. Love the show. Mr. Cat 10, is it? He's on. No, he's at Casanilia. Oh, it's good to see some of your family are listening in, Benny.
Who is it?
Oh, no, somebody said they love the show. Are you thinking of somebody from your family?
Are you taking the piss?
Yes. What sort of handicap do you think Chris Scott's coaching is on the Cats? I'm feeling 2 to 3 goals and definitely enough for us to win the other night, regardless of the poor kicking. How can Chris Scott call criticism of his finals record as lazy? I don't think it's lazy, but you can't compare the losses in 2014, 2016, you know, in the prelim to now, because they're different groups. It's a different looking side. So
the last 3 years you can.
Yeah, the last 17, 18, 19 you can.
Yeah, and 20 now.
Look, 18's probably you can't really look at because they went into a elimination final against Melbourne.
Yep.
And they were John fried at the end of that year.
But Melbourne weren't exactly top of the tree and they got their pants
put. No, they went to a prelim Melbourne.
Wiedemann ended up playing like Wayne Carey.
And hasn't since.
No.
Following on my from above point, he's asking about Sean Higgins. Everybody seems to be asking about Sean Higgins. Look.
Do you get the sense, even in that little potpourri there, that what percentage of Geelong fans do you think like Chris warm to Chris Scott? Not lot, many, is it?
No, it's less.
See, but we mentioned before that the president thinks it's just a minority. It's a vocal minority. No.
And even Brian Cook, when Chris Scott got re-signed on that lengthy deal and Brian Cook said to the media, oh, our research is telling us that the fans love the coach, and don't get me wrong, Brian Cook's been very good to K-Rock over the journey.
Yep.
And it was very hard not to stand there and say, and especially because our relationship with the coach hasn't been great over the journey, especially in the last few years, we can sometimes be seen as, when we raise an issue like that, that we're a bit skewed in our view. But I felt like saying to Brian, well, you walk on the streets of Geelong and talking to the people.
Yeah. I think, and you need to be really, when they're in their position, you need to be really careful that you've actually taken the temperature of the fans, not just fans who... three or four, you know, you need to be, when you're making statements like that, you need to really know that you are 100%. And they're probably in a little bit of a bubble. There's not too many people who are going to confront Brian Cook and then say, geez, this and that's crap and you need to fix that. And that's not the way. But you talk to, you know, people will say that to Geelong fans all the time, friends. And my, you know, I classify as my friends as pretty articulate in terms of the way they look at footy. They don't have their face painted. They're Geelong supporters and they're passionate, but they can see generally both sides of the story, so they're quite reasoned in what they say. I don't have any of them that are fans of Chris Scott. They're questioning, and look, let's hope he has the last laugh Saturday night. Let's hope that Cats pull their pants down and get the chockies.
You'll probably listen to this and think, oh, gee, these guys are negative about it. I can't see Geelong winning.
But that's what everybody's talking about, Kingy. We're only talking about what is being out there.
Yep.
And I heard it on a radio station this morning. Obviously, I didn't hear the start of it, but they were talking about Chris Scott's coaching and posing the question, why does there seem to be so much negativity towards Chris Scott? And then people were ringing up. And I heard about 5 people in a row, and none of them were saying anything that was good. This is for a team that's a perennial top 4 team.
Yep.
It's a really weird dynamic that Geelong have been so successful in home and away, and yet so unsuccessful in the finals. It's a really strange, and I think the Cat fans obviously are getting clearly frustrated that quality form in the home and away doesn't translate to quality form in the finals. And my reasoning has been all along, for years and years, I've been saying that talent only takes you so far. Talent will win some home and away games because some games tend to be, you might catch the opposition on a bad day. You've got some top end talent that plays well on that day. Some of the games tend to be a bit more open. So there's a whole heap of factors that go into that. But talent alone won't win you a final. You've got to have more than just talent. And the good sides, and we're seeing it now with Brisbane and St Kilda, they've got a real sort of good chemistry about them.
Yep.
And it seemed like Geelong had that going this year in the hub. You would have thought that would have helped that along. But close quarters, you know, relationship building, talking to blokes you don't normally talk to, coaches interacting with players more than they normally would, having conversations they wouldn't normally have. I've said that probably helped the Cats, and yet we saw Saturday. I mean, they only beaten by 3 goals, but we saw last Thursday night that it was a bit of a stink bomb in the second half, when it all went to poo. Unfortunately for the Cats,
Benny, time for us to get out of here.
We've got to get out of here, Kingy.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr's Hire.com.au.